Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Saudi Arabia and its allies have intensified their onslaught on Yemen's port city of Hodeidah. 15,000 Yemenis have been killed in the nearly 3.5 years of bombing campaign by the Saudis, with much of the population on the verge of starving. Now there have been Western calls for a ceasefire, but it seems that they first have given the green light for the Saudis to bomb Hodeidah to smithereens. I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, columnist at The Hill, Brent Badowski out of Washington, D.C., and journalist and political commentator Sayed Mohsen Abbas out of London. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start this off in D.C. with Brent. The humanitarian situation is deteriorating rapidly in Hodeidah as a full-fledged attack has been initiated on this port city by the Saudis and its allies. Now, for 10 days, they still have not been able to take over the city from the Houthis, but the humanitarian situation is horrible. There are talks of a ceasefire, but in your perspective, why has there not been more aggressive action done by those who hold the string to controlling Saudi Arabia, such as Washington and London?
Well, first of all, the United States does not control the strings for Saudi Arabia. I wish we did. And if we did, this garbage would stop. Now, I want to condemn just about everybody for what's happening in Yemen. I'm against mass murder. I'm against killing civilians, no matter who does it. I think the Saudis should stop it. They should have stopped it long ago. I think the Iranians bear some share of responsibility. I think the United States has not done nearly enough to stop it. I think we have to find a way now to end the killing, end the murder, and really demand in all of these countries, and I include within Saudi Arabia, within the United States, and within Iran, that these governments use their resources and their talents to make life better economically for their people, and they use their diplomatic, political, and military influence to stop the killing, not to support it, not to tolerate it, not to look the other way. I think it is a human outrage of epic proportions, and decent people around the world should demand that the carnage and killing in Yemen be stopped immediately.
Well, Sayed Mohsen, how is it that now the United States and its Western allies are calling for a ceasefire? However, they are still very much involved in supporting Saudi Arabia.
It's very difficult to trust U.S. policies and the Saudi Arabian alliance, which are perpetrating most of the crimes in Yemen. The fact of the matter is Donald Trump has no honor. He doesn't really stick by agreements. That's been made clear across the world through very, very, sort of various range of actions that he's taken. But here in Yemen, this is obviously the most embarrassing and the most obvious expose of U.S. and Saudi crimes. I mean, in the bottom line is that around 100 attacks, missile attacks or aerial attacks have taken place on civilian areas here in Hodeidah. That is a trend which is not new. It's been an ongoing situation. Around about 50 to 60 civilian cars were bombed since June, since the latest offensive. So, they've got track record. And I think it's very hard for the U.S. administration to come across as honest broker. If they are going to go for brokering a final ceasefire, it will only be because they've realized that there is no military solution to the Yemen crisis. And to be honest with you, that's probably what they're doing.
All right. Well, we look at the U.S. Because Brent, you said that you're condemning all sides for actually supporting it or being involved, and you felt that the United States really does not control Saudi Arabia. But why, in your perspective, is the United States, for example, refueling Saudi planes in midair, giving Riyadh logistic information, and even have meetings with those leading the Saudi campaign? Why would Washington do this with an entity that is causing such havoc on the ground there in Yemen?
Well, first of all, the United States has said in recent days that we want to stop refueling the planes from Saudi Arabia. I think that is positive if it happens. I would support that if they do it. And I hope it does, because that's one action that is urgently needed to try to de-escalate and to try to get a ceasefire.
But Brent, now, why did they do it to begin with? Change. We're talking about 3.5 years. 3.5 years. 15,000 Yemenis have been killed. What happened now?
Oh, I didn't look. They did it because the policy, in my opinion, was wrong. I didn't support anything that supports the Saudi Arabia government and what they did in Yemen. I will say as well, there are other governments, including Iran, I'm not happy with. But the most important thing for our audience to understand, I believe, and to explain what's happening now and what may happen in the future, where there's some hope, is that the United States' position on Saudi Arabia has monumentally shifted because of the barbaric killings in Turkey. And the question about the barbaric killing in Turkey of Khashoggi is how high up it went in the Saudi government. The United States did not want that to happen. All people in the United States, including the Trump people and liberal Democrats like myself, were horrified and disgusted that that happened. And I think that's making some people in the Trump administration, in a positive way, rethink the whole relationship with Saudi Arabia. Finally, we've got to get beyond having proxy wars of the United States or others supporting Saudi Arabia or Iran in these proxy wars that are killing innocent people in third countries. Everybody does it. Everybody is wrong. But I think that what people should understand right now is that American policy towards Saudi Arabia, because of the murder in Turkey, I think is beginning to change. We didn't want that. Nobody in America wanted that. Nobody in America supported that. The Trump people, the liberals, the Democrats, none of us wanted that. And I think that is a major moment in American Saudi relations and in the relations of Saudi Arabia with the rest of that we'll see what happens, but it offers some hope. I just don't want this to be another proxy war. There's plenty of criticism to go around on both sides of Iran versus Saudi Arabia.
Well, okay, that's interesting.
And it all has to
all right,
stop.
Brent, it's interesting because you keep saying Iran and Saudi Arabia. And Seth Mohsen, I'm going to cross over to you, Seth Mohsen, because as our guests in Washington, D.C., continually talks about this proxy war, it is Saudi Arabia, and it is Saudi Arabia's and its allies like the Emirates, and with the support of the United States, with the support of the U.K., who has been bombarding this nation for more than 3.5 years. So Brent has talked about a proxy war, and he continually brings the name of Iran. You're taking all this, Seth Mohsen. What is going on here? Because what we see are the Saudis flying over this country and bombing them just about every day.
Well, it is a standard trope that's been rolled out as part of the propaganda psychological operations to draw Iran in to the equation. That's obviously necessary because Israel and the U.S. want to put further pressure on Iran around the nuclear issue and various other issues and disputes they've got in that region. Now, the bottom line is, where is the evidence? We can trace U.S. evidence of military armament of Saudi Arabia. We know that as soon as Donald Trump came in, he gave them hundreds of billions of dollars of E1 contracts, and the Saudis were paraded publicly signing contracts, and they were very proud of it. Donald Trump knew full well the Yemeni atrocities that were going on at that time, so he is complicit, absolutely no doubt. And as far as Iran goes, to this day, where has the U.S. embassy been able, the U.S. administration or the Saudi administration been able to produce the evidence to say that Iranian arms or Iranian support of any kind is there on the ground in Yemen? They don't have any. I mean, I've not come across a shred of evidence so far. The Yemenis are capable of producing their own weapons, whether it's missiles or weapons they'd acquired on the general market. So this is just an obfuscation. The idea of bringing Iran into the equation on this is purely because the U.S. and the Saudis are absolutely embarrassed at their own barbaric atrocity upon Yemeni civilians, and they're showing it again. They knew what would happen if you attacked Hodeidah. You would end up with street-by-street battles in which civilians who can't escape because they're so poor, they can't even afford fuel to get out of that war zone, and they've got nowhere to go, and there's a famine and a crisis because Hodeidah is the place where you get 80% of the food coming into the country in the first place. So this in itself, this attack on Hodeidah, is an act of barbarity in itself. because they know it means out of the 24 million Yemeni population, around 16 to 18 million are directly in line to be hit by further famine, if you like, because of Hodeidah's situation. Now, that's not happened entirely yet, but it's on the edge. Civilians are going to get killed. They knew it, and now they're intensifying it because they just want to grab as much as they can before this so-called peace initiative begins by the end of the year.
Well, what about that, Brent? I mean, if really many of these forces really care, don't you think that that could have prevented this latest onslaught on Hodeidah? You say that the Saudis don't basically follow the line of the U.S., but I asked you a question. You think that if individuals from the American administration would give the Saudis a call and say, don't initiate this this offensive, at least not right now, you think that they would still do it?
Well, I hope that call is happening as we speak. I believe it should be happening as we speak. I repeat what I said earlier, that there is an important reassessment after the events in Turkey of American policy towards Saudi Arabia and the Saudi Arabia position in the world.
Well, remember, let me stop you right there, Brent. Let me stop you right there. Doesn't that in itself say a lot then about American foreign policy? So Saudi Arabia, as we know, the majority of the hijackers were Saudi that were involved in 9/11. As we know that this particular war in Yemen has been going on for more than 3.5 years with at least 15,000 civilians who have been killed. However, it took one individual, and of course it was a heinous crime, obviously. But what would one expect from a ruthless regime that has done this time and time again, but on a much larger scale? But it took this one case, actually, to perhaps make them tweak their perspective about Saudi Arabia. Isn't that odd as far as from a foreign policy perspective coming out of Washington or London?
Oh, I think it's odd. I think it's wrong. I hope it changes. I mean, I've been against the Saudi Arabia policy in Yemen from the beginning. I've also been a supporter of the Iran nuclear agreement and still am, but I also think that there are valid issues that should be addressed with Iran. I mean, what has been happening for too darn long all over the region is there's a proxy war between Iran and Saudi Arabia. There are proxy wars supporting proxy wars with the United States and Russia and others. I'm against all of them. I think we need to make life better for the people of Iran, the people of Saudi Arabia, and pray the people of Yemen. I think it is just wrong. Now, what I'm trying to explain to the audience as honestly as I can is there may be a window of hope. Yes, it's ridiculous that it takes a murder in Turkey to create a window of hope in Yemen. That's not my idea. I'm just telling our audience what I believe may be happening. I do think it's constructed that some people in the Trump administration are talking about ending the refueling and beginning a peace initiative. If that's true, and I think it may be true for reasons I've stated, I think that's good, and I would support that. And I think we have to find a way to end this barbaric murder and killing and civilians being under attack all the time that's been going on in Yemen. I thought the whole civilized world should rise up against it. And beyond that, we have to find a way to stop people all over the Middle East suffering in all of these countries because of proxy wars that affect all of these countries. I disagree with all of them. I'm against proxy wars that kill civilians, no matter who does it.
Syed Mohsen, your take. I mean, Brent talked about the civilized world, perhaps the Western countries he's talking about. When we look at that civilized world that actually are the ones that are supplying the Saudis, we know that recently we saw the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia this year go to the United States and with Donald Trump sit down and they signed deal after deal after deal, hundreds of billions of dollars with smiles on their faces. Obviously, if this is then the more civilized world, then what does it say about them? Throughout this 3.5 years, more than 3.5 years of this onslaught, not one time did the Brits or that the Americans even stop or suspend their arms deals to Saudi Arabia while these innocent Yemeni people were being killed. So what does that say about all of this and what needs to be done to change that reality?
Well, it says that basically Western democracies have no morality in their politics. When it comes to morality in economics, they will always choose the economic benefit rather than the moral, if you like, imperative. And that's very sad, because if on the one hand you in the Western world sit there pontificating about the world's ills and how great your civilization is, and there's this kind of almost white supremacist look at the rest of the world, which is in trouble, yet you ignore your own fueling, strategizing and developing of those conflicts and your ongoing sort of perpetration of those conflicts based on your economic greed. And this is the reality. Look, if you ask the United States, how many bases does, say, for instance, Iran have encircling the U.S.? How many missiles has it got the capability to point at the U.S.? Yet the U.S. is surrounding Iran, because it constantly this issue of Iran as a proxy war nation is being touted. But it's not true. Iran is in its region, and yet the U.S. has more army armed bases surrounding Iran, encircling it, literally encircling it all the way around Iran. And yet it sort of accuses Iran as being the aggressor. The United States is in that region because it wants to rape resources. They cannot survive without the petrol. They've linked their entire economy to the petrol economy, which has been a disaster, which means that they are tied to their entire economy is tied to petrol. And they are absolutely frightened that if they let go of that petrol industry, their dollar is literally going to be worthless. And that would mean collapse in the US. This is the reality of the world. And we live in a world where we've got a superpower, the nation of United States of America, who's created a situation or has had a situation created, whether it's of their own doing or the structural elite, the kleptocracy in the background who truly run that nation. They've allowed themselves to basically become totally tied to the Middle East for its petrol, and they will perpetrate any crime, any war, any military bullying in order to keep their hands on it. That is what's causing fundamentally the conflicts in the Middle East.
Well, Brett, what is it going to take in your perspective? What has to happen to bring this tragedy to an end?
Well, my hope is that the Trump administration, which, whether I like it or not, is in power, that they fulfill what they had started to talk about. Say they're not going to refuel the Saudi jets, say there ought to be a fair diplomatic solution for everybody, and to say that we have to stop the killing, the carnage, and the murder of anyone by anyone. I am carefully, slightly optimistic for the reasons I stated, that whether it's fair or not in an unfair world, I think what happened in Turkey with the killing definitely is causing an important reassessment of relationships.
Okay.
And again, finally, I want to stop all of these proxy wars by anybody and against anybody. I want a world where Iranians and Saudis and Yemenis and Syrians can live in decency and dignity and prosperity for all of them, instead of these endless proxy wars. I'm against all of them.
Yeah, sounds great, Brent. Imagine if it could only be so. Said most of your take, what is it going to take to bring this all together? And we have seen the Houthis actually unbelievably stand up very strong. I mean, even it's been 10 days that the Saudis have been in Hodeidah and standing their ground. But at the end of the day, what is it going to take to actually be able to stop this carnage?
I think, first of all, it will take the US, the UK, and all those people who are arming Saudi Arabia to rein in their puppet, who's actually perpetrating physically the warfare. They need to stop the mercenaries that are being recruited by Saudi Arabia for coming in to fight the war on their behalf, whether it's Sudanese or Moroccans or whoever else is being hired to do their dirty work. They need to recognize that the Ansarullah represent a large majority of the Yemeni people's interests and their democratic interests, and they need to allow them to have a fair, if you like, hearing, a fair say, and not be treated as if they are the bête noire. The reality is that Yemen was being ripped off by Saudi Arabia for oil, for money, and the puppet governments that Saudi Arabia was propping up in order to keep its control over Yemen collapsed because of their own greed.
And all right, now, and on that note, so sorry to interrupt you, but we are out of time. Appreciate both of you being with us. Brent Badowski from The Hill, a columnist at The Hill in Washington, D.C. Journalist and political commentator Seyed Mohsen Abbas out of London. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. See you next time.